going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Anthony. Is what we're going with?
Do you not remember the day?
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is, yeah. Yeah. This was the song we used when you wore a certain someone's sweater on the air because you lost a lot of football games.
Yeah.
Picking them. Yeah. That person is here right now for today's edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Chris Russell, you've seen the video of Anthony in that sweater and the whole deal, right?
It was special.
It was.
It was special. I did not realize there was a song attached to it, but...
If we remember by the end of this segment, I will scroll back in my Instagram and I will show you the video of Anthony dancing to that song.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite moments of the last year on the show.
I remember him dancing. I just didn't remember the song. So I apologize for being a little bit behind on that. But anytime I can get Anthony to do anything for our entertainment, you know, I'm a willing participant. I was glad to be a small part of that.
Yeah, no, we very much appreciate the Rooster Sweater contribution to our very silly pick segment that we did called Competition Wednesday.
Yes. Spin the wheel.
Yeah, the wheel
is the wheel coming back again this year?
It is. We should start thinking of things for the wheel now because it really by the end got a little stale. We need more things on the wheel. It's Chris, the full title, The Wheel of Mediocre Punishment.
Yes. You know what I really look forward to when the wheel is just sitting and taking up residency on a chair in the corner when it is left out a little bit in the path so I bump into it all the time. And then I have to fix the audio board because Linnell doesn't switch anything back, and it causes my show to start late because...
Is that why my show then sometimes that starts late?
Well, I'm busy.
it's a bump?
I'm still busy fixing Linnell's problems. Oh. Exactly.
No, see, the good thing is, Chris, you don't have to worry about the wheel being in your way that often because Anthony doesn't win off enough for the wheel to stay over here.
Is that what we're doing, Craig?
It's more of what you did, not what we're doing.
You know why that is.
Feel free
Craig.
To pick the correct teams next time, and you won't have that problem.
Craig, you know what it is. It's hard to pick the right teams and to do the super duper analysis when you're on vacation as much as Anthony is.
He's not gone that often.
Thank you. See, he seems to think I am. If I leave for one...
What is it with you guys between 1 and 4? I'm going to lump Linnell in. I'm so sorry. Just that you guys just make stuff up about people.
No, Anthony ranks 3rd behind Kevin Sheehan and the Junkies in terms of the most vacation.
I'm not going to lie, Chris. I thought you said you were about to say he was going to rank 3rd behind Kevin Sheehan and Kevin Sheehan.
Now, Rooster seems to think I just take a lot of time off. You're because right. I went to Jamaica one time.
No, Anthony just picks good spots. Like I don't know if it's his next vacation, but our boy's going to Paris this summer.
I mean, Anthony,
I can confirm, is a great place to go in the summer.
Anthony's
I did it last year.
He's like, I just like to travel. I go over the weekend. I'm like, yeah, but you take Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off in order to go over the weekend. And I'm like, A, I'm jealous. And B, I'm like, I got to get that deal negotiated. Oh, I got to get any deal negotiated. But that's a different story.
Yeah, it's a story we can co-author together.
Yes.
All right, let's end the chapter, Anthony, on the stream of the Inside Baseball Team 980 bashing on each other portion of the program.
Oh, boy.
And let us instead talk some actual hockey. Because,
yes.
Chris Russell, you were at Capital One Arena last night. You saw Alex Ovechkin score his first ever playoff winner. Before we get into what happened in the game, how we arrived at that point, just the atmosphere last night going into it, and then the tension convention that was the third quarter as the Canadiens launched that comeback and the release that was the overtime.
Yeah,
winner.
I mean, look, it's different than a regular season game, but there's always a good atmosphere there. I think anybody that goes there for a Caps game understands that, regular season or not. So let's start there. But it's different. It's more amped up. The crowd is more passionate. The crowd is more amped up in every way during the Canadian and national anthem. There was, you know, different cheers for different reasons and all of that stuff, right? During the opening intros, it's loud. It's thunderous. There was a controversial penalty call that led to Montreal's first goal against Pierre-Luc Dubois, middle of the third period. It was so loud I couldn't understand the penalty call and what happened, because two Capitals got dumped on the same play and they called Pierre-Luc Dubois for a call that I know didn't sit well with the Capitals. I know didn't sit well with the fans. So the fans were definitely in it. They were definitely harassing and giving a refs you suck chant a bunch of times last night. And there were several calls that went against, quite honestly, the Capitals. But they overcame it all. I would say, to me, the most concerning thing, Craig, for a second time in three home games, they blew a two-goal third-period lead. It's one thing to give up the game-tying goal if you only have a one-goal lead. That happens. That's sports. A two-goal lead, when they've been so good during the regular season in the third period, both offensively and in their own zone, for the most part, until the last couple of weeks, again, two times in the last three home games, once against Carolina in the regular season, once last night, they've blown a two-goal third-period lead. Even though they won, that is a major doubt, question mark, what have you, in my mind.
So is the question mark, like, is there a through line there, right? What's the reason why they have done this? And is it something that is characteristic of their team and thus a continued concern moving forward?
Yeah, not being able to clear the puck. I mean, if you look at that second goal, right, there was a wild flurry in front of the net in the high slot, and Montreal is just firing and blistering shots and attempts, and it's just chaos. And then Logan Thompson, who was making his return to the pipes last night for the first time in 3 weeks, shoots over to his right or his short side, anticipating a short side stuff opportunity, which I understand what he was getting at. The problem is he went over so fast and so hard, he almost knocked himself out of the play, and then he couldn't recover. So they couldn't recover the puck. They couldn't gain control of the puck and knock it out of harm's way. And then Logan Thompson maybe overplayed the shorthand or the short side stuff. On the first goal, I think it was more bad break. It was off of Matt Roy, right? These kind of things happen. It was after that Pierre-Luc Dubois penalty that I was just talking about that was controversial in nature, and nobody kind of understood what the hell they called. So they give it up on a power play. So I don't really kill him or them for that, and it took a bad break. The second one, you got to do better than that. And clearing the puck and getting the puck out of harm's way has been a consistent theme for this Capitals team defensively and in goal for the last 3.5 weeks to a month.
So Chris Russell is with us talking Caps here on the team at 980. Of course, he'll have much more coverage and preview of game two tomorrow on his show from 1 to 4. And if you want even more hockey talk today, well, good thing they podcast all of our shows. You can listen to the Chris Russell Show podcast anywhere you get yours. But Logan Thompson comes back last night and makes some incredible saves.
Yeah.
Looks spry, looks quick. Obviously, you mentioned the big mistake there to allow the game-tying goal. But overall, how'd you feel about his performance? And do you feel he has still even room to grow as he knocks off whatever rust is there from having missed the time he did towards the end of the season?
Absolutely. So I don't think he was that rusty. I think he was less rusty than I was anticipating in terms of timing and all that stuff. That's why I would have gone with Charlie Lindgren, by the way. But obviously, they have data and practice that I don't have access to.
Of course.
So, of course, they made the decision. And some of that, as Spencer Carberry said last night, post-game was their goaltending coach just felt he was really sharp in practice and really seeing the puck well. Okay, trust them. They know what they're doing much more than I. They made the correct decision ultimately. Do I think Logan Thompson was good last night? Yes. Outside of the one goal, the second goal, yes, absolutely. I thought he was really, really good short side and with his leg pad down. He made 4 or 5 saves, which, again, were hard, blistering shots along the ice surface, low, that could have easily gone in if he wasn't as sharp, again, especially short side, and also, you know, by using his pad, and almost all the time, it was his right leg, you know, jutting out. So, to me, I thought he was good. I thought what helped him was the first 3 shots on goal for Montreal were kind of the soft fire variety. They were almost kind of like, yeah, we'll flip the puck towards the goaltender. But it may sound crazy that, like, you think you need a big, crazy, wild, acrobatic save to get into the game. Sometimes you just need to feel the puck. Sometimes you just need to get your hands on it or get your stick on it or get your body on it just to feel like, okay, I can do this. It's like riding a bike again. I'm back. Yes, I've been doing it in practice, but there's a different flow and a different pace to the game. So I think that actually helped him. And then they survived, if I can speak in English, a little mini barrage midway through the first period. They took a penalty that did Washington, Taylor Radish, and Montreal had like 4 or 5 shots on goal and a couple of good ones. And he stopped them all, and he stopped them all with ease, and they had the 2-0 lead 50-plus minutes into the game, and then it kind of fell apart.
Right. Falls apart. They give up the game-tying goals. Ultimately, though, they're able to quickly score and get off the ice in overtime. What kind of adjustments do you expect to see in Game 2, knowing they got away with whatever happened in the last 10 minutes? They were the better team for the first 50. So if you're Spencer Carberry and company, how are you approaching Game 2?
I think finding a way to, it sounds so simple, finish off the opportunities that they got. If you look the first minute and a half of the game last night, and it would kind of come back to haunt them. Connor McMichael had 2 grade A chances, and not his fault. The goaltender made really nice saves, but it should have been 2-0 or at least 1-0. And maybe if they had that extra goal, then we're not talking about the extra overtime, you know, we're talking about a 3-2 win or whatever. So they didn't bury opportunities that they got in the second period in addition to those opportunities that I just mentioned. So finding a way to finish plays, right? We talk about pass rushers and some of the pass rushers that we've both been talking about in the draft. Well, there's a difference between a dude who can finish and a dude who can get there and be in the neighborhood but can't really finish for whatever reason. There's a difference. So that's one adjustment. The other adjustment, you know, that I would say is, to me, continue the hit parade that we saw in the first 8, 9, 10 minutes of the game last night. And they did out-hit them by, I think, 10 or 11 total hits. Continue that hit parade as much as you can without doing anything dirty, without doing anything illegal. They had a bunch of guys, including guys that you normally don't think of, Anthony Beauvillier, Lars Eller. All right, you do think of Brandon Duhaime. Alex had a bunch of hits. Again, you do think of him. And it wasn't all Tom Wilson. It wasn't all the tough guys. It was some of the other guys. Nick Dowd had a big hit early in the game. It got them into a flow. And Spencer Carberry said, when I asked him this, he said it was the best first period they had played in months. In months. So to me, how do you replicate that? Not just for 50 minutes, but for 60, obviously, that's what you want. But how do you replicate that pace that they played the first 10, 11 minutes at for even longer than that? Again, you're not going to do that for 60, but if you can do that for 30, 35, instead of kind of settling in and letting them settle in, maybe you can be up again 3-0 or 4-0 so you don't have that pressure in the third.
Last thing. How concerned are we with some of these injuries? There's obviously, I think, one dude got hit in the face, got some dental work. He's going to be good. But there's a couple other guys that didn't play yesterday or get hurt yesterday. How concerned are we with these injuries the rest of the series and then the rest of these playoffs?
Yeah, so that was Alex Alexiev who took a high it was not ruled a high stick because he was hunched over and because they ruled it a follow through.
Right.
I don't understand that rule. Stick to the face should be a penalty in my eyes, especially.
I guess if you hit the puck first, it's fair game. That's the way the rule is. Doesn't make your face feel any better.
I know, exactly. And it doesn't mean I have to like it. But they got bad news today, or unexpectedly bad news, I guess. Everybody knew Martin Ferravari, who was out last night, was not going to be part of this series in all likelihood, and maybe even longer than that, did not expect them to rule him out for the entire playoffs with an MCL surgery repair. So that's a pretty big blow. A guy who can contribute offensively. I think he had 25 points on the year, 5 goals, 20 assists, something like that, plus 17 on the year. He's responsible for the most part defensively, part of that third pair, matched up usually with Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Now it's Alex Alexiev, the kid who, again, needed the dental work. Now you hope, right? I think they can sort of overcome that against Montreal. Don't know if you can overcome that against Carolina, Toronto, Tampa, what have you. And here's the other thing, Craig. If they have another injury on the defense, that is a double-double blow, obviously. And then if they don't get Alexi Protas back in this series, which they hope to, or if he's not right, he hurts them, or his absence has hurt them at 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill, because he's arguably their best player in both of those situations. So they really need him back, especially now with Ferravari on the shelf.
Chris Russell, the Chris Russell Show, is 1-4 Eastern if you're a radio listener. If you work here, it's just kind of whenever you arrive.
It's omnipresent.
That's
a good word, right?
That's, Anthony, that's a good SAT word from the old rooster over there.
I mean, occasionally a blind squirrel finds a nut, or a blind rooster finds a nut.
A blind rooster finding a nut. All right.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, who knew there were blind roosters?
Maybe sometimes they can't see. Maybe it's dark. I don't know. Maybe
that would explain some of your takes.
Well, listen, Craig. As I often say, my style, my personality, my show is not for everyone. I am.
What's your hold on? But we have like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
What's your craziest NFL draft take? Just hit me with it. Just let's go. What's the one where you hope that I have not heard it? That way I don't storm in here and go, what in the hell are you talking about?
I don't really have a crazy draft take. Other than...
What other people think would be a crazy NFL draft take? Obviously, you don't think it's crazy. Right. It's your take.
I would... If Amarian Hampton is on the board, I would absolutely not hesitate to take a running back at 29.
I don't think that's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy either.
It's definitely not what I hope the ideal situation is, yeah. But like if, oh my God, worst case scenario, we got a guy who's probably like a top 20 player in the draft at 29, who's at a position that you kind of need.
But
in the
I heard
term.
Kevin and Nikki on the way in today say they wouldn't take a wide receiver or a running back. To me, I think it would be a mistake to take a wide receiver, but
that's crazier to me than taking Hampton.
Okay. All right.
Like, why would it be a mistake to take a wide receiver?
Because I think you can, I think you can get receiver help later in the draft. B, with the investment that they made, well, the upcoming investment that they've made in Terry, the current investment that they have in Samuel, which granted is not more than right now, a year-long deal, plus all the other things that they did over the offseason, subtracting and re-adding, I think you can get away with helping that position, again, later in the draft where maybe there's a different value level. At 29, I would like either corner, pass rusher,
sure,
or running back, and you know how much I value the running back, so maybe that's kind of my blind spot here.
Yeah, no, I think they have truly, Adam said this a bunch today, like, they have done enough that they could go in any direction.
Yeah.
There is not a single position outside of quarterback or a specialist.
Yeah.
You take a kicker, a punter, or a long snapper, I'm going to have some questions. But outside of those, I literally, there's a player at every single position that I'd be like, I'm fine with that guy at 29, who I think realistically could be available.
That's fair. The only other crazy take I would have... And it seems like the buzz is growing again, and I don't know if it's just speculation. I don't know if it's real. Like, I would never take Shedeur Sanders at number 3 if I was the Giants. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a crazy take? Because he's a quarterback? Because he's going to be a good pro? I think the difference between him and Cam Ward is Shedeur Sanders probably has a ceiling of being good, whereas Cam Ward has a potential ceiling
Shedeur
of being
Sanders
very good, if not great.
He's not a top 5 pick, and in last year's draft, he's easily a second rounder.
But you know that teams will overvalue the quarterback, and again, maybe he turns out to be better than we all think. But to me, it would be kind of crazy, especially when they've signed and added who they've signed, which, granted, are short-term additions, but... That's really all I can come up with. I wish I had better for you, but I really don't.
I think we figured it out, Anthony. This draft is so weird, it's almost bad take proof. Like, Not that all of Chris Russell's takes are bad. That's not, I realize as I first said that.
Just 58% of them, right?
No, we'll work on the metrics. Is that what you would grade me in? We'll type up the metrics and we'll adjust the formula, see what it spits out.
What else do you hate that I say?
There's been things over the years. I don't remember any of them specifically.
Craig, you got mad at me one time when I was killing the analytics on ESPN.com predictor thing about the Celtics and somebody, the Heat. You got mad at me one time. You were like, you just don't understand analytics.
No, you don't. You actually don't, fundamentally do not understand analytics. And it's like, sometimes I find it genuinely hilarious when you rant about them, because I'm like, you are ranting that the sky isn't green. And like, nope, what you're saying, nobody thinks what you're saying. So sometimes it is funny on that front. Other times, like, and sometimes I just laugh, and sometimes I'm like, this man is going to be the end of me.
I say on Twitter, I'm often misunderstood by the non-thinker. Sometimes I really genuinely believe that I am very misunderstood by the non-thinker. They just don't understand what's in the mind of the rooster.
Oh, I think that just may be the non-thinker. You know what? After some of the cracks that I've gotten off on you in the last 25 minutes, I think that's a fair way. Chris Russell, everybody. My dear friend.
Thank you, everybody.
Who is on from 1 to 4 Eastern every single day on this fine radio station.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Anthony.
And again, if you want more of his Capitals takes, check out the Chris Russell Show podcast. And when we get back, Mitch Tischler joins us here on The Hoffman Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's Off and Show. We're on the team at 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, a show that is giving you your pick six at six. It's been a while since we did one of those, but the pick six is coming up. Six most important things you'll need to hear from Adam Peters coming up at 6 o'clock. But right now, it's our pleasure to welcome back to the show a man who stole our hearts every single Tuesday during the football season, and he's back to steal it again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Tischler Tuesday. Mitch Tischler is here. Mitchell, hello, hey. My friend.
I'm doing great. I love hearing the air horns. We're ready to go.
We are so ready to go. Although I have questions about you, Mitchell, and whether you're actually properly fired up, because I heard that on your Beltway Football podcast that you co-host with JP Finley, you guys did a mock draft, and on all of your picks, you did, which is, I presume, half of them in the first round, you didn't pick a single offensive lineman. Mitchell, have you changed this offseason? Are you okay? Is this a call for help?
It should be. It might be a call for help. I'll tell you, with the Commanders trade for Laremy Tunsil this offseason, there's certainly need to get younger on the interior of that offensive line. But I like what I saw from Brandon Coleman last year. I think he's ultimately going to be your right tackle. Laremy Tunsil solidifies the left side. This is a team that can be built to win right now. And while I loved hearing Adam Peters and, you know, Dan Quinn over the entire offseason talk about wanting to continue the pace, you know, build the right way, do all these things that they've talked about since they got here, I think you're in a position now where you can start kind of picking and choosing guys who you think can help you right away and help take you to that next level. And right now, I don't see the offensive line as a number one need, especially for a team that doesn't have a ton of draft capital.
So just to be clear, this was a Commanders-only mock draft. This wasn't you and JP like splitting a first-round mock and somehow you didn't take a single offensive lineman for anyone. That would have been really concerning.
You heard the problem. It was just the Commanders pick. And it was only the picks with no trades being considered, even though ultimately I think they end up trading out of the first round.
Yeah, I think they would love to trade out of the first round. The problem is so would, I think, five or six other teams in that entire range, and there's not going to be that many teams that want to come up. So we'll see, although there's a ton of quarterback stuff flying these last couple of days. We're in the middle of silly season. I don't know what to believe, but could forego in the first round? It'd certainly help the Commanders if they want to trade out. As for the question we've kind of been asking folks on the phones, and I've been asking various guests, I think we're going to do a whole montage of this on Thursday, is who's your guy? Like, who's the guy that you want to see on the board? And if he is, you are then going, Adam, please pick up the phone, send in the card. I want this guy that is a reasonable guy to pick here. You can't say like Abdul Carter, but outside of him or some of the other top guys, who's the guy you want to see on the board at 29 for Washington?
That didn't stop Adam Peters from saying Abdul Carter today.
I know. That was a very funny moment. I enjoyed that.
I don't know how reasonable it is because ultimately I don't think he's going to be there, but I think Shamar Stewart would be super interesting if he's still sticking around at 29. I think he's one of the best edge rushers, one of the guys that's going to be able to get out to the quarterback or be able to contribute the quickest in this draft. And the number one thing that I loved reading about him, and the same goes for Nick Scowerton, who's the other Texas A&M edge rusher, is that both of them were responsible in the run. And to me, as much as I want to get a guy who's going to step in and get double-digit sacks, that's obviously, you know, ultimately what you want if you're taking a first-round edge rusher. I want someone who's able to do both, somebody who has a responsibility and knows how to play within a defense. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can look at with both of those Texas A&M defensive ends and their, you know, numbers production as far as you look at stat-wise for them, and it leaves a lot to be desired, but it's because they both were asked to play within a defense. And I love that these kids both showed a ton of athleticism and also were able to get some quarterback pressures, but also play within a defense and help, you know, kind of support the run. And ultimately we saw last year what happens if your defensive ends aren't able to, you know, help support the run much. And ultimately, if they do end up sticking around in the first round, I want an edge rusher who has the athleticism and has the physical traits to become a great pass rusher, but is also heady enough and responsible enough and mature enough to understand that there's more to being a defensive end than strictly sack numbers.
Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast for Monumental Sports, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So we've talked about Stewart a lot on this show because I think he's fascinating, but you brought up something that I think is really important, which is he is a good run player in terms of an edge setter. the devil's advocate, so I will bring up the thing that you know is coming and let you respond to it, is his sack production was bupkis. He had one of the highest missed tackle rates in college football, period, last year. He missed 26% of his tackles. And so while he led Texas A&M in pressures with 39, he'd never had more than a sack and a half in a season. Is that something, like, one, how concerning is that? And two, I guess the more important question would be, Mitchell, do you feel like Dan Quinn and this defensive staff could actually help fix those problems?
So that, to me, that's what I look at, is I look at what this defensive staff has done with players in the NFL over the course of two decades and their ability to help, you know, help them reach higher levels. And the fact that you're able to get those pressures, you're able to get to the quarterback, to me, that shows that you have the physical traits to be a explosive edge rusher. You might just not have the discipline or whatever to break down and make the play at the point of attack. And I'm hoping that that's something that they can teach this kid. I look at another kid like James Pierce. He's the edge from Tennessee.
Yeah.
2 years ago, double digit sack, was looking like he was going to be a top five, top 10 player. Last year, the sack numbers dwindled dramatically. He still has a high number of pressures. So to me, you know, we've talked about it when we talked about, you know, the defensive tackles that the Commanders have had, the John Allens, the different group of guys, and, you know, the effect of having quarterback pressures, and maybe they don't finish the plays and get there. But ultimately, you know, you want to have somebody who's going to be up in a quarterback's face and get there. And I think that you saw a guy like Shamar Stewart do those things. And I think with, you know, some technique fixes and, you know, some physical changes for these kids, I think that they can help. I think this coaching staff, the strength and conditioning staff, can kind of help them, you know, get to a better place where they don't lose the speed, the quickness, the bend, all those different things, but they're able to get into a better position to make plays once they get there. And ultimately, you know, I think that's what you have to hope with kind of any of these defensive edge guys that are going to drop down to the end of the first round, is you're going to need that. All those guys are going to have, you know, nits to pick, if you will. And you're going to have to find the ones that you think are, you know, inherent to the player, or ones that can be coached into them. And to me, for a guy like Shamar Stewart, he's able to get to the point where he can make a play. He just hasn't been able to get it done. To me, that's something that's coaching, that's teaching, that's technique. And that I think that this coaching staff can get into him.
I tend to agree. And at 29, you're not going to find a better piece of clay. And for edge, like, that's kind of what you want, is the traits. And while I definitely have my questions, and I think if he and Donovan Ezeraku were on the board, I'd probably take Ezeraku. The dude's 6'5", 270, and is a freakazoid of an athlete. Like, you just,
you
can't do that. By the way, are you familiar with Nick Scorton's story, since you mentioned him as well, Stewart's teammate?
That's what I was going to bring up, was, you know, we've seen the type of players that this coaching staff likes to pick, team captains, team leaders, guys like that. You know, Nick Scorton was a guy who was at Purdue. He was a team captain as a sophomore. He led the Big Ten in tackles, in sacks, and then left in the portal and went to A&M. He's the kind of player, when you start talking about the, you know, in the locker room, off the field traits that this coaching staff loves to target, he's the type of guy that I think makes a lot of sense. And so when I bring up the Texas A&M edge rushers, maybe I'm giving myself a little wiggle room, but I like both of those kids a lot, and I think there's a good chance that if either of them are there, that the Commanders might jump there.
For sure. And so this is from The Beast, Dame Brugler's draft guide. I didn't know this about Nick Scorton. Nick Scorton, one of three children, grew up in Timpson in East Texas with his mother, Ashley Caraway. He started playing organized football for the first time in seventh grade. As his mother worked long hours, Scorton later found himself in danger of flunking out of school. At the start of his sophomore year, his best friend, Andrew Bubar, convinced his parents to allow Scorton to live with them temporarily, but that short stay turned into much more. Nick's mother eventually signed over his guardianship to Andrew's father, Lane, the principal at Bryan High School, and mother, Cindy, and Nick stayed with the Bubar family for the remainder of high school. In college, he officially changed his last name from Caraway to Scorton to reflect the quote-unquote best friend relationship with his biological father, Nicky Scorton. Like, so this is kind of like the movie The Blind Side, and hopefully it doesn't end in lawsuits a decade from now because they're actually terrible people. But, like, that's a crazy story, and talk about, like, a guy who's had to earn it. That is always something that the Commanders look for. So there, I'm glad you brought up Nick Scorton, and that made me go read his background piece in The Beast, Mitch. So thanks. Oh, if nothing else, we got that out of this radio hit today.
I mean, Dane Brugler's Beast is one of the best pieces of work that's done around the NFL the entire season. But what I like about Thornton is he has the same kind of similar metric numbers as far as our stat numbers, at least as far as Shamar Stewart goes. And I think that speaks to kind of the Texas A&M defensive game plan for the edge rushers. And the fact that he produced the way that he did at Purdue, you know, Purdue's not the greatest team in the Big Ten, but that is, you know, Power Five football, and to put up the sack numbers that he did shows you that he has the ability to ultimately do that. Now, he's not as much of an athletic freak as Shamar Stewart is, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be a solid NFL player. And I like the idea of both of those kids ultimately donning the burgundy and gold potentially. Yeah,
for sure. And it's Scorton, if they do trade back, he's probably likely to be available in the early or late 30s potentially as well. I don't know who knew. He could also be a first-round pick. That's kind of the wackiness of this class. Mitch, the other like big picture thing that we've been kicking around this week is what kind of risk tolerance should Adam Peters have at 29? I'm pretty sure they'll take someone with the Commanders tag, so that takes a guy like a James Pierce probably off the board. But even a guy like Stewart, where the production wasn't there from a sack number, versus a guy like Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver from Ohio State. I know exactly who that guy is. Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama. Now I'm speaking to your O-line heart. I know exactly who that guy is. At 29, with where the Commanders are as a team right now, what's your risk tolerance to take a swing on a guy that's super talented but unproven versus maybe a guy with a little bit of a lower ceiling, but you're pretty sure you know what you're going to get?
The one thing that's good about the craziness in college football right now with NIL and transfer portals and all that stuff is you're getting older players that are coming out of the draft. And, you know, last year with Jaden Daniels, people were trying to use that as a knock against him. And I think, you know, especially those of us in Washington that have seen this kid, you know, been around this kid, you recognize that the older they are, the more mature they are, the more ready they are to you know, commit to being an NFL player and living the NFL lifestyle, not the celebrity lifestyle that some folks fall into. So I think as you look at these guys, I don't know that there's as much risk with a lot of them as you start looking at kind of the edge of the first round and where the Commanders are picking. Ultimately, I think you need to hit in the first round regardless, but I think you particularly need to hit considering, you know, the previous 4 years of Ron Rivera picks and, you know, how bare bones the cupboard was when this new regime came in. The one thing I like about them is that, you know, they're kind of forward thinking. You know, you look at the Johnny Newton pick and you recognize that, okay, they were planning for life after John Allen / Daron Payne, whichever one they decided. I don't think they're going to go tackle in the first round. I don't think they're going to necessarily go O-line in the first round. But you can look at it and see, hey, is Laramie Tunsil maybe, you know, a rental player? Is he going to be here long term? Do we want to start building up, you know, the future there? And the fact that these guys aren't as obsessed with, you know, finding, you know, the one missing piece that's going to put them over the edge, but building a franchise, building a team 1-53, and obviously even further down than that when you start looking at practice squads and stuff like that. I really like the approach that they take to it. And so as much as, you know, I don't think that they're going to, you know, go to a particular position, I think we have to have our eyes open that if they see a player that they think, you know, has value at a particular spot, you know, they're going to go out and get them. And I think the other side of the coin to that is, you know, is a guy like Brandon Coleman, who when they picked in the second round last year, there was a run on tackles and it felt like, okay, the Commanders need a tackle. They got to go get one now. But they were confident that they liked Brandon Coleman. They thought that he was going to be able to be a contributor and have the confidence, I guess is the word, to stick to their board and go and get Mikey Fainter still in that spot, but trust that Brandon Coleman was going to drop to them in the third round. And, you know, Coleman had an up and down year. I'm not saying that he's, you know, a future all pro or anything like that, but he gave you enough in last year that you can see that he can be a contributing NFL player, a contributing NFL starter on a team. And so as I look at the draft, I kind of like the way Adam Peters kind of has that, you know, ebb and flow of going to get guys who can help them right away, but also understanding that you need to build this roster up because the depth on this roster just isn't there right now.
So with that said, Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with us here on the Hoffman Show, is there any position outside of quarterback or a specialist? So I'm not trying to pull a quick one on kicker, punter, long snapper here. Outside of the specialist and quarterback, is there any position that you would be upset, miffed, question if they took in the first round?
I think fans are going to hate this, but I just believe it's the evolution of the position. I would hate to see a running back go in the first round. I would love to see them take one on day three, somebody who you think has some traits that can help you out. But to me, if you're not getting the top flight running back, I think they're all kind of a dime a dozen. You look around the league outside of, you know, the Derrick Henrys of the world and the Saquon Barkleys, obviously, I think they're all pretty interchangeable. And certainly Brian Robinson gave you a lot. There was a lot to be desired with B-Rob last year. But I do think the addition of Laremy Tunsil, and ultimately I think whatever happens with the combination on the right side with Wiley, Brandon Coleman, Trent Scott, whatever they kind of decide to do there, I do think this offensive line as a whole looks better. And ultimately I think that helps the running back position. And, you know, I just don't want to spend top draft capital on positions that are, you know, kind of easily filled with, you know, you can get almost equal production from what you have already or from guys that much later in the draft.
No, I agree with that outside of if Hampton falls. Like if obviously Genty's not falling, but if Hampton is there at 29, like that dude could be a game changer. He could be one of those top blue chip guys, which is why I've said I'm good with anything. But I think my anything at running back ends after those two guys, where I think there's a lot of other, whether it's fans or even draft analysts or maybe even GMs, who would happily take Caleb Johnson or Travion Henderson or whatever. But the fact that none of them agree on who the third guy is, I think kind of proves our point, Mitch, that after the first two, I'll wait.
And ultimately, if they end up dealing that number 29 pick and get a, you know, mid second round pick or maybe an extra a third round pick or something like that, Travion Henderson would be an awesome fit for this offense and for this team, just not at 29. To me, 29 is a spot that you need to go after one of the more premium positions. And I think as much as we've talked about edge, I think you also have to talk about corner there, because this team is putting a lot of faith at the moment in terms of the moves that they've made in the fact that Marshawn Lattimore is going to be, you know, the player that we thought he was going to be before he came to Washington, and not as much the player that we saw him to be in a couple of games here. But that corner depth is mighty narrow right now, and you have a couple guys who can help you out in the slot and maybe can play on the outside a little bit more. But if Marshawn Lattimore turns out to not be, you know, the player that they think he is, then you're really, really short at corner. So I think there has to be a conversation about corner there. But to me, first round's got to, for the most part, has to be a premium position.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Let's wrap there, because I heard you say that on the roundtable on John Kimes podcast. By the way, the comedy quality on that podcast, ooh, buddy, took me right back into the media room where no jokes are good. I love each and every single person that was on that show, just to be clear. Just the punchline comedy, Mitchell. That was a lot.
Listen, I think folks see our interaction amongst the media corps on Twitter, on Instagram, on all the different social medias or whatever, and they get a feel for kind of how we all interact with each other. But it's a lot of fun when we do those kinds of podcasts and folks get to listen to it and see it. And, you know, listen, there are a lot of real bad jokes, and John Kine is king of dad jokes, so I love him for it.
It's the best, but also the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you, Mitchell, they with the Zoom delay, they play really well in the room.
Well, that was just John waiting for the laugh track. I'm surprised.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. I was listening, not watching. You know who absolutely loves this conversation, if he's listening, is John Kime. Anyway, I heard you on John's show make the point that you just referenced about Marshawn Lattimore, and it's kind of like, hey, they need someone to play with Mikey and Lattimore. And it's like, what if Lattimore is the guy that we saw last year? So how does that affect your thinking at 29? And is there anybody you've got circled that you think would be worth taking with that pick if they're available?
Will Johnson, who's another Michigan corner. I don't know that he's going to be there then, but certainly he's another player that fits the prototype that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have kind of put out there and are talking about. You know, wanting a guy with high football IQ, a guy who, you know, is able to kind of go after the football, make plays on it. And obviously they had so much success with Mikey Sainristil the last year that I'm sure they wouldn't hate to double dip into that Michigan world. But, there's a kid out of Kansas that I like a lot, Mello, Dotson. And I think he's a super interesting player. He's a little bit older, kind of very similar to what Mikey Sainristil was for Michigan for that Kansas football team. He was a team leader, and he's a guy who has, you know, it's funny because for any other team or any other draft, I would bring up the fact that he has, you know, he had a bunch of interceptions and he had a bunch of pick sixes and got the ball back. But after all the Emmanuel Forbes talk, I think that, you know, might be a little PTSD for some folks. But he's a guy who uses his eyes really well. He's physical enough that he's able to, you know, body up with some, you know, tight end types. He's six foot one. And he's a guy who has shown an ability to get the football. And obviously we know that, you know, that Dan Quinn and company love guys who can force turnovers. So he's like a fourth, fifth round type guy. So certainly maybe a day three pick, but he's a name that I would kind of keep in the back of your mind as an interesting piece that I hope Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, everyone has identified as somebody who would be interesting kind of as a day three name.
That is one of the deepest pulls we've gotten, Mitchell. He's Dane's 32nd ranked corner, 7th round grade from Dane Brugler. But at that point, like day three, who cares about the grade? Not who cares about the grade, but everyone's grades are going to fluctuate dramatically. That's a good pull.
I didn't think Dane has him that far down. I think the last couple of mocks I saw him, I had him 5th round or so, but I trust Dane a whole lot. So maybe he knows a little bit more than I do about it. But I like the kid. I like what he brings to the table. And just kind of reading through his story and his, you know, what the coaches and folks around him had to say over at Kansas kind of got me a little intrigued.
Yeah, it is definitely, like, I understand why he's a late-round pick, but sometimes guys just have it in terms of the ball skills, the instincts and stuff. And so there you go. Melo Dotson, your late-round sleeper for Mitch Tischler. Watch out. Mitch, what are you guys doing for the draft on the Beltway Football Podcast? What can people look for this week?
Yeah, we're going to have a podcast up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, each night of the draft, after we get a chance to talk to Adam Peters and company when the rounds complete. I personally, or in person, will be up in Montreal for the Caps-Canadian series. So it's going to be a lot of fun juggling the two, but I can't wait for the draft to come, and I can't wait to see how this front office coaching staff fills out this roster.
I personally would like to thank the NHL for making sure the Caps are on Wednesday, Friday this week and not on Thursday. That is very much appreciated. I know they did it for all of us. Mitchell, thank you so much, sir. Enjoy the draft and enjoy the Cap series.
Absolutely. Go Caps.
All right. Go Caps indeed. Mitchell Tischler, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Check out the Beltway Football Podcast wherever you get yours or on YouTube on the Monumental Sports page. When we get back here on the Team 980, you'll hear more from Adam Peters. He spoke today, as did Lance Newmark, in their pre-draft press conference. Pick 6 at 6 is next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health.
At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.